And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All righty, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulscher hanging out with the lovely Mary Goulet. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
Richie Ote, what's your baby?
I'm lovely. Come on.
You're lovely too.
You are more than lovely. You are beautiful and handsome.
Oh, thanks, buddy. You too.
And different.
And different.
And different. The word of the year, different. All right, so really excited today because, look, we've had a lot of guests on the show. I'm not going to lie here. You've listened to the program enough. You know we've had some pretty interesting folks on. And we've had a lot of folks that probably we shouldn't have had because they just weren't that interesting.
But
we're getting better. We're getting so much better at picking people who are just the most interesting people in the world. And I think we've got one of those today. And I'm excited to have this gentleman join us because I'm going to tell you, I struggle. I struggle a little bit with understanding that whatever it is that you want out of life, you got to get it right now. Because if you're putting something on postpone, if you're pushing that pause button, that day may never come.
Wow.
That day may never come. Now, this is a guy who lives in the moment. This is a guy who quit. Basically, that as anyone else might look at it, they would go, "Geez, that was a pretty good career you had going there, buddy." And he said, "You know what? Forget it. I'm done." Just hung him up and said, "I'm going out into this world and I'm figuring out exactly who I am." And got inspired by the Motorcycle Diaries. Have you seen that movie?
I didn't see them. It was a book first, right?
Wasn't that Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance? I think that's the one I read. And okay. I think they made it into the Motorcycle Diaries. And I forget who was in that, but I'm sure our guest today can tell us. But let's bring on our guest today because he's got much more interesting things to say than I ever will because this guy's been everywhere, and I'm sure the stories are out of this world. And actually, Leon, you just got off the stage, did you not?
I did.
You did. So thanks for are we actually still on the stage right now? Are you doing this during the middle of your presentation?
No.
All right, awesome.
I'm off the stage.
All right, so my Greek is decent, so I can do like Yasuthikanes, Akaristo, Megalakolas, and those sort of things, right?
Wow.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm guessing, based on your last name, Logothetis, that you are Greek, yeah?
I am. I grew up in London, but both my parents are Greek, and I do speak Greek.
You do speak Greek? That is so
nice.
Impressive. Yeah, and so do you speak any other languages or Greek and English, and is that it?
Greek, English, and maybe like a four-year-old French.
Nice. I've got a four-year-old Spanish going. I'm right there. Donde está el baño? I think I'm right there with
you. So right after the show, I'm going to show property to a Greek family, and the main person I talk to is Aphrodite.
That's her name.
That's her name.
You can't live up. How could you ever be? You can never live up to that name.
Right.
Like you have to be like
fun trying.
Oh my God! Right? can you imagine the disappointment of like, this is my God. I'm dating someone named Aphrodite, and then she's like horrible in bed. Like, could you right? imagine? Like that would be terrible. You could never live up to that name. All right. So Leon Logothetis, and actually, can you pronounce it for me? Because I don't want to butcher it throughout the show, and actually, in about 12 seconds, or I'll just call you Leon. But how do you pronounce your last name?
Logothetis.
Yeah, that was pretty close.
Okay, yeah.
That was pretty close. All right, so, Leon, you've got a pretty interesting story, man. Take us back through that moment when you just said, I'm not going to live that average life or that life that is expected of me or that life that everybody else is living. Take us back to that moment, that breaking point, and what happened and what did you decide to do in that moment?
Well, the moment that really came to fruition after I watched the movie The Motorcycle Diaries, I was a broker in the city of London. On the outside, I had everything, you know. Materialistically, I had the perfect life in so many ways. Yet, what no one knew except me was that on the inside, I was just bankrupt. I was spiritually and emotionally bankrupt. I had no sense of purpose. I had no direction. And I was just wearing a mask. And everyone was, you know, they thought I had it all. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. And after watching the movie, which is about Che Guevara traveling around South America, relying on the kindness of strangers, something shifted inside me. I remember watching that movie, and I was like, wow, you know, there's another way to live.
Mm-hmm.
What the feelings that I had inside after watching that movie were just new to me, or maybe they weren't that new. They were something that I'd felt as a kid, and the sense of adventure, the sense of going out into the world and connecting with people. It was so beautiful, and that was really the beginning. That was the starting moment, and I was like, no, I'm not doing this. I can't.
So did you literally just wake up one day? And just to say, because you watch the movie, and most people, you know, when they have those sort of moments, it takes some time, right? I mean, it's not usually just like that one thing. Okay, the movie ends, I write my letter, I resign, 2 weeks, I'm done. Was there a process, or what happened after you were inspired by that movie?
Yeah, I mean, look, it didn't happen immediately, but that moment I realized that it was over.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a process. It took some time to get things in order, to really make the decision. But at that moment, after watching the movie, I realized that's it. It's over.
Mm-hmm. So were you in a financial position to be able to cut the rope? Because a lot of what I talk about with folks is, look, don't be an idiot and quit that day job. Let somebody else fund your transition. So that right now, you know, if 100% of your income is derived from what it is that you don't want to be doing, and 0% of your income is derived from what you actually do want to be doing, as soon as you use some of those off hours, you know, after the 5 o'clock hour, on the weekends, et cetera, and you begin generating some income from what you really do want to be doing, then it's kind of like a recipe mixture. And now it's, you know, 99 parts what you don't and one part what you do. And as more and more of your income is derived from what you do want to do, then eventually you hit the, you know, the point where you can cut the rope. Maybe it's 50-50, maybe it's 60-40, or maybe you need 100% of your current income to cut that rope. Were you in a financial position to just cut the rope right away, or did you start stockpiling cash, or how did you go about it?
Yeah, it's a great question. And look, I was fortunate enough to have the means to do what I was doing. It is much harder to do it if you don't. Not impossible by any stretch of the imagination, but it is harder. And it's another hurdle that you need to jump over in order to reach your dreams. And some people, you know, never jump that hurdle, but many people have. I mean, the world is filled with people that have had nothing and have gone out and lived their dreams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Richie, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say first, Leon, this is Richard, and I love your book title, Live, Love, Explore. That is awesome. I actually used to say live, love, laugh all the time, so I think I'm going to borrow yours. I like yours a little bit better, because in exploring you get more than just laughter, right? So first, that's awesome. I'm going to check that out. But what I wanted to ask you, have you run into people where trying to monetize what's passionate or what, you know, what they really enjoy has backfired? Like maybe they were an artist and then trying, you know, they should have kept it separate. Right, trying to monetize their art, all of a sudden they didn't enjoy it as much. Have you ran into that?
I guess so. Not too much, but I think that ultimately, you know, you have to follow your passion. And if your passion brings you money, then wonderful. If your passion doesn't bring you money, you still have to follow it. Because imagine if I say this, I share this sometimes, you know, you're 80, 85 years old, and you're looking back at your life, and you're like, wow, where did it all go? I didn't do what I wanted to do. I didn't do what I felt passionate about. I didn't do what I really wanted to do, and I wasted it. And that's something that I try and you know, maybe instill in people. Don't waste it, and don't waste what you have. Don't go out there and live and love. And so, explore. Sorry, so, I just had to say that.
No, I love it. I will explore it too. So I guess maybe what I might have worded a little bit wrong. I wasn't necessarily trying to say don't follow. I get follow your passion, right? I get that in just your title. Like the explore part sums that up. I mean, should some people not try to monetize that passion and just keep it a passion and keep doing it and monetize something else? Because I've seen that a few times.
I get your point. I mean, look, each individual has to make that decision. You know, you can have a 9-to-5 job and then be have a passion for something and do it in your spare time. And if that's okay for you, then that's okay for you. If, on the other hand, you don't feel that that's okay and you need to go out and really fully embrace your passion, and then that's what you have to do. It really depends on each individual.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Leon. This is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hello. So, they're making fun of me. About the passion thing, for me, I'm the kind of person, I've always done this, if I find something that I want to go toward, that's my job. Go toward it and then keep following the breadcrumbs of where it's taking me. And that's worked out well for me. Sometimes the reason it would slow down is because I'd become afraid, like, what am I doing? But I think it's fully possible for people to create a career or a lifestyle out of something they're passionate about. And you've just gone off the charts with it.
Yeah, well, we're gonna have to do this. We're going to have to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio. And really excited here because we've got someone who, I would say, kind of lives the dream that so many other people think about and really wish that they could do in their life. And he's the personification of really just going out and doing something without regard for what's going to be on the other side of that. So I want to take a couple of minutes here after the break to talk to Leon about how to address some of those fears,
right, exactly,
that we all have about cutting that rope or taking that leap or really just saying, you know what, I'm throwing caution to the wind and I'm going to do this, because if I don't, it may not be killing me externally, but inside I'm dying. And so let's get Leon's perspective on that here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
To do, not enough time to get it done? Call on the experts at Another 8 Hours for your business support needs. By partnering with Another 8 Hours, we allow you to focus on the more important matters, like being in front of your clients, doing what you do best, rather than being stuck at a desk poring over paperwork, rummaging through emails, returning phone calls, and struggling to get everything done by yourself. Meanwhile, your family and social life are going down the drain. Go to another8hours.com or call 8 More Hours. That's 866-734-6877.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulsher hanging out with Mary Belay with you today, and we are talking to Leon Logothetis. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about how to overcome the fear of cutting the rope. And, I mean, Leon, let's be honest here, man. You must have been at least a little nervous about cutting the rope and giving up that day job. I mean, I'm not going to get into your pocketbook here, but at some point, you probably thought, look, the money's going to run out. I can't do this forever. So how did you overcome the fears?
Look, there was definitely some fear. I think in that moment, the thing for me was I was in so much pain, emotional pain. I was up against the wall that I felt like I had no choice. Mm-hmm. It was like, look, do I continue down this road and continue with the materialism, or do I feed my soul, mm-hmm, and feed my heart? And I kind of felt like metaphorically I had a gun to my head. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it, to be honest with you. If I wasn't in so much pain, I would not have changed. And that's just my truth.
So with the traveling that you did, how long did it take for you to go, I wonder how I can monetize this? Or did you always have an inkling, I'm going to travel, I'll know when it's time to write a book, I'll know when it's time to speak? How did that process work for you?
I kind of, just to start with, it wasn't so much about monetizing it. And it really isn't about that now. I mean, I do this because I'm passionate about it. I do it even when I'm not being paid to do it, I do it.
I think it's a practical thing just to share with the listeners. Like, okay, because if you'd go for the money first, you would probably not have started. It would have changed, like,
yes,
the feeling of it. So if you're doing it,
absolutely,
right, so the way you did it, but at some point you're like, if I want to sustain this and not take away from the pure, passionate part of it and still try to, you know, make money for you to continue.
Yeah, I mean, look, to start with, it was purely that I needed to get away and I wanted to do these travels. And then I started to realize, A, that you know, maybe some people would be interested in hearing some of my stories. And then once I got to that stage, obviously it was important to be compensated for my books and for my shows and stuff like that.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so just give some context around this. How old were you when you just decided, look, I'm going to head down this path? Were you married? Did you have kids? Just kind of draw the picture for us.
Well, I had no kids, and I was not married. I was 28 years old, and it was that moment that, you know, someone once told me that 28, 29 is like a special age, and people, that's when they kind of shift. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I was told. So it was that I was at that age.
Oh yeah,
late 20s.
It's Saturn return. Saturn
huge.
Saturn comes all the way back.
Yeah.
And it happened in my life. I think it happened in Mary's life. Like, we both had our drop for our books during that time.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is recognizing at that age, if you have a compulsion, a desire to do something, and you go against it during your Saturn return.
You got to wait 28 years.
Right. But if you go with it, every 7 years will be a more gentle shift.
Wait a minute. So at 56 or 58, I have another chance? Is that what you're telling me? Is that how it goes down?
Yep.
Really?
Yes.
So everybody has that Saturn return thingy?
So whatever's not working will be forced to make it work. And in his case, his business or his career was not fulfilling him, it was possibly hurting him.
Look, at any given time, you can make it work for you, mm-hmm. right? We're not like a puppet to the planet.
No.
Yeah.
But energetically, right, if the moon can pull tides and all this stuff, it's just when this is coming around, that tends to be a major shift in people's life every 28 years.
Okay, I got you. I tend to do my best work when the moon is in Uranus. I'm not sure.
Oh, stop exactly. it. So, Leon, you followed that impulse, your psyche is telling you to do something, and it was big and bold.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I did. So, maybe unconsciously.
So, Leon, let me ask you this. So what are you hoping that people learn from your story? What do you want people to know? Like, you come and you've got a great site. It looks nice. I mean, you've got all sorts of interesting things going on, books and whatnot. But what's the main takeaway? What do you hope people get from you? What do people have to know from Leon? I mean, like, what's a Leonism? What do people got to know in terms of what you've experienced, and how do you want them to think about your experiences, your perspective, your life, and how they might be able to incorporate some of that into their world?
Ultimately, it's just about being the best that they can be, and that everyone deserves to live a full, happy, inspirational life. Everyone. Doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what skin color you are, doesn't matter what religion you are, you have the right, as do I, to live a beautiful life. That doesn't mean that bad things won't happen, that doesn't mean that there won't be roadblocks on the way, but you have that right, and don't let anyone ever tell you that you don't.
I was going to actually say your book title would be it to me. That encompasses what you just said. If someone woke up and they just lived their life the way they felt inside, they loved with unabandoned, mm-hmm. and they explored everything that meant something to them, it's going to work out all right.
Yeah,
I can't tell you what it's going to look like, but I can tell you it's going to work out all right.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. Maybe what we should do. Have you ever sat down? Who wrote that book, Eat, Pray, Love? I never can remember that one.
Elizabeth Gilbert.
That's the one. And so, Leon, have you ever sat down with her and just said, you know, look, eat, I get that. Pray, I kind of get that. But we're both on the same page as far as love. Did you guys like ever have a battle between eating and living and praying and exploring? Has that taken place yet?
It hasn't, but you just gave me a great idea.
Thank you.
I'm going to contact Elizabeth Gilbert, and I'm going to ask her.
Nice.
Let's have a Facebook Live contest.
Yeah, I love
there
that.
There you go.
Yeah, that's we had Simon Sinek on the show, and he's, you know, that Start With Why guy. I don't know, 32 million views on his TED Talk. I think I've got 3,200 views on mine. But we had a what versus why conversation, and I learned nothing, but it was great having him on. All right, so let me ask you this. 90 different countries, man. What? Give us a highlight of the experience? Like, there's got to be a couple of moments that really just stand out in your mind. I mean, I'm sure a lot of it's a blur. I've been to, I think, 42 states, and I remember, like, California and Illinois. But, like, out of all those different countries, give us a highlight of what you experienced.
Yeah, well, I mean, I went to Bhutan, which is a country northeast of India, and they have a thing called gross national happiness, where they determine the success of the country by the happiness of the people. And truly, that was like one of the most amazing experiences I've had. They were just, there was a joy about most of the people that I met in that country. And it always stands out. Whenever anyone says to me, so, you know, you traveled extensively, what is the favorite place you've ever been?
Yeah.
Without doubt, Bhutan is always in the top three. It's just a magical place. I mean, it's not just about it's a beautiful place. It's got a beautiful soul.
So what do they do there exactly? Because, I mean, it's a really interesting, like, I guess it kind of begs the question of, like, really, what creates happiness? I mean, you've been in so many different places. What do you think are the most important elements of what it takes to create happiness? And you've been on the other side, man. You know, you've been on that side of depression and probably thrown in the towel. And hell, if I lived in London and I was depressed, I mean, Jesus, don't go by a gun shop, because, I mean, that would have ended a long time ago. But you've been on both sides of it. Now, what do you think it actually takes? So, like, a whole country, what are the ingredients to happiness in your mind?
Well, the ingredients to happiness to me, I mean, ultimately, it's about being in the moment. It's about being compassionate. It's about to yourself as well as to other people. It's about showing some empathy. It's about living your passion. And it's about being gentle with yourself. And all these things, you know, as I sit here share with you, I don't do them perfectly by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't imagine there are many people that do. You know, I have bad days. I have some really bad days. But if we are gentle with ourselves, and if we are following a path, and if we have a reason, and if we surround ourselves with people who are like-minded and who are kind, and we don't judge. All these things, it's not just one thing. It's mm-hmm. not just like, oh, the pursuit of happiness, do this, and this. Mm-hmm. It's like a whole...
It's a holistic approach.
A whole series of things that we can do.
And so give us an example of what that means to be gentle with yourself. Like, I mean, I can imagine what that means. Like, I'll tickle myself softly, but I don't think that's what you're talking
it's
about.
Not what you're saying.
No, you're talking about something else. So what do you mean? Give us an example of what it means to be gentle with yourself.
Sure. So for example, let's say, a couple of weeks ago, like I said, I used to suffer very badly from depression. I don't really suffer that badly anymore. But when I come back from some of my journeys, it's hard to readjust to daily life. And I was in a bad place. I had an interview that I was supposed to do, but I found a way not to do it, which I probably shouldn't share live to the world. But whatever, that's just reality. And instead of bashing myself, instead of saying, "Oh, you're a bad person, Leon," they're never going to book you again, mm-hmm. or, you know, they all these bad things. I'm like, you know what? Just be calm. You were in a bad place. It's okay. You know, just take the time you need, mm-hmm. and regroup, and tomorrow's a different day.
Yeah.
I refuse to bash myself.
Yeah, that's really, really sage advice. So a lot of questions that I know I still have. I know, Mary, you got some questions as well, and Richie, of course, as well. And we're talking to Leon Logothetis. That's LeonLogothetis. And you can go to LeonLogothetis.com. He's the author of Amazing Adventures of a Nobody, The Kindness Diners, and Live, Love, Explore. Awesome having him on. All right, we'll be right back on Reinvented Radio here with Leon Logothetis right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. We're talking to Leon Logothetis today. And Mary, you actually had a question for Leon, yeah?
Well, so going through stuff like that, especially pushed out through a Saturn return, you probably learned a few things not to do along your path, and you probably put some of those in your books. But just maybe to make someone who's thinking, gosh, I want to go do that, what would be a list of mistakes I made, or do this, it'll make your trips easier or your planning easier, that type of thing?
Do you mean specifically for the trip, or do you mean in life?
Just in life. Yeah, you know, you get some gems, and maybe some parts of your trips, or your travels, let's call them, just were you possibly made them more difficult on yourself than they needed to be, or your mindset obviously shifted over time.
Sure. Well, I do have a tendency to make my trips difficult purposely, taking away all my money and relying on kindness. But I do that because I don't know if you know the famous author Pema Chodron. She has a book called The Wisdom of No Escape, and that's in so many times in our society now. We all have. Most of us have kind of the things we need. We have, you know, we have security, we have safety, many of us. And we can make decisions based on that. But if you put yourself in a situation where you cannot escape, that's what I did. I put myself in a situation where I could not escape. I had no money, and I had to rely on the kindness of strangers. So, for example, if you want to go traveling somewhere and you're not sure you can do it, if you actually buy the ticket, that's it. You have to go or you're going to lose your money. So it's like putting yourself, creating scenarios whereby you have to find your way out of your comfort zone. You have to take these risks.
Yeah, I mean, I completely understand. I wouldn't recommend anyone taking the path I took last year, but I cut the rope. Well, I did a couple jobs here and there throughout the year, but I cut the rope and didn't see where any monetization or anything was going. I just knew I needed to focus on my family and me. It was almost like a little spiritual quest, and it's been amazing. I'm not going to take your time away on what actually came out of it, but I tell you, following your passions and not worrying about what it looks like at the end, there's magic there.
Yeah. So do you think if you relied on, maybe you did, taking that kindness from strangers because you basically left yourself with almost nothing, could that be pulled off in America? North America?
Absolutely. I did it in North America. I walked from hitchhiked from Times Square to the Hollywood sign. And I had $5 in my pocket.
So tell
the American people.
Yeah, so what would be an example of waking up on Monday morning at Times Square and going, okay, I need to start walking west? Or, you know, getting hitchhiking a ride? Or how did that look?
Yeah. That's basically what happened.
That's it.
I arrived in Times Square, and I, started asking people the best way to get out of the
Get out of Times Square.
Exactly. Get out of Times Square. And ultimately, I found someone to help me. They took me to Newark, New Jersey, and that's how it all started.
Oh man, that's not a step up. So, and this was all chronicled in your amazing adventures of a nobody, I want to try to be clear on this. So when you did that adventure, and I think it's pretty damn cool that you did that across America, the United Kingdom, and Europe, and $5, £5, €5 a day, respectively, were you being followed around by TV cameras? Like, were they documenting every step of this journey? Because if people don't see cameras, they're like, maybe I can get my 5 minutes of fame. I'll tag along with this guy. I'll give him a ride somewhere or whatever it might be. Were you being followed around by cameras, or did you document this yourself?
Yeah, for that journey, I had cameras, and in some instances, it helped, and in some instances, it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd be surprised. A lot of people don't want to be on camera.
Yeah.
And a lot of people won't. A lot of people would say, look, I don't want to be on camera, but I'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, sure, no problem.
Mm-hmm. And so you've done the shows, you've got the kind way around, and you got a sponsor, which is pretty cool, when you drove a car from London to Mongolia raising money and bought 10,000 books for underprivileged kids in America. I mean, you've done some pretty amazing things. What's the next big thing for Leon?
Well, I'm working on circumnavigating the world with a electric car.
Hmm. And, like, that's going to have to be, I would think, solar then to some extent, because you're going to hit a lot of places. If you're circumnavigating the entire planet, that you're not going to have plug-in. So what's the plan?
That's when horse-drawn carts come into play, and they will have to pull me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So you've been able to find sponsors, and just so we're clear on this, you've been able to actually make a living now, and probably a pretty decent living now, writing about these expeditions and filming and creating shows around these expeditions. So, I mean, you're certainly the personification of living proof that you can kind of get paid to do just about anything. But would you say that you're making are you making comparable money now doing this as when you were, you know, working as a broker in London?
No, it's not the same, but mm-hmm. It's enough, and it is my soul is, and my heart are singing.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
How long have you been doing this now? How many years have you been on the road doing all of this?
About 10 years.
About 10
oh,
years.
Oh wow!
A little bit over 10 years.
Yeah. And are you tired of it, or is this going to continue for a while after this next journey? Is this the final hurrah? You're going to announce it here on Reinvention Radio. You fell in love with a Somalian man, and you're going to live in the desert together and live happily ever after you film this circumnavigation of the globe. Yes? No?
Not quite.
Not quite. Okay.
Close. You're close.
I was hoping we were going to break it here on Reinvention Radio first, but yeah. So is this the final hurrah, or do you see yourself doing it more after this?
No, it's not the final hurrah. I continue doing it. I'm going to continue going until I stop. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds pretty. Anyway, that's the reality.
Until I can't go anymore. Who inspires you, and what's your word for 2017? We were talking about our words for 2017. Who inspires you, and what's your word for the year?
Winston Churchill inspires me, and my word for the year is hope.
Is hope. All right, and lastly, this is a new thing I want to start doing, and actually Mary and Rich don't even know about this, but I love this quote from Tim Ferriss, and he talks about everyone is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Love that quote. So what's a battle that you're fighting right now that that no one knows anything about?
You are putting me on the spot, my friend.
True.
And
you've got 36 seconds.
This is Steve.
Welcome to Reinvention Radio.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I don't have to answer that question. No, I mean, look. You know, the truth is that people see me on the internet. They see me with books. They see me with shows, and they're like, "Oh, you've such a great life." And I do. But I still struggle. I struggle with depression. I struggle with being able to come home and, you know, live a normal life.
Yeah.
I struggle with that. I'd say that's something that isn't out there, but now is.
All right. Well, appreciate you sharing that, man. And if people want to find out more information about you, where's the best place to send them?
Well, for the book, they simply have to go to Amazon and put Live, Love, Explore into the search engine and just put my name in Google, and it comes up.
Yep. All right. Awesome. Cool. Well, really appreciate you joining us here on Reinvention Radio. And again, that's Leon Logothetis, and that's L-E-O-N, and then L-O-G-O-T-H-E. T-I-S. So pretty interesting stuff there. And hopefully this will inspire you. You know, maybe this will inspire you to quit that day job and stop doing what you hate, and maybe this will be the year that you finally dive in and do something that really fulfills you, do something that you really love. From us to you, we certainly hope that happens. So really, really glad you joined us here on the program. Leon, appreciate you listening to us here on Reinvention Radio. Keep subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast version of this. We love you. We'll talk to you guys next time here on Reinvention Radio. Take care, everybody.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsher, visit reinventionradio.com.